Hello and welcome to the Pop and Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Nick.
Let's just cut right to it. The Cubs won the World Series. Congratulations, Chicago.
Yeah. After an insane Game 7.
That was one of the craziest games of baseball I've ever seen in my life. I can't even say it. We're going to move on. Because I can't say anything more about it, because you had to watch it to really understand. And, yeah, sure. You know.
We'll dive into it next week.
Right.
Hopefully, we're not talking about the apocalypse.
Hopefully.
Next week, after the election. But speaking of the election, we're going to change up from our norm this week.
Yeah.
We're going to talk politics.
A little bit.
And what you folks can do. So with that being said, we're going to invite our guest for this week on. We have Gretchen Dahlkemper. She is the director of Clean Air Moms Action and Moms Clean Air Force. And she's local to Philly, like us. Gretchen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
I did not stay up and watch the end of the baseball game last night.
No. I promised myself I wasn't going to watch it, because for as much as I wanted the Cubs to win, because I'm not a big Cleveland fan, I just, you know, I figured, well, I don't really have a horse in the race. But then, of course, you know, seventh inning, I had to turn it on. It was crazy.
Yeah, my wife went to bed after the ninth inning, and I came back downstairs and saw a rain delay, and I was like, I'm never going to bed tonight. I'm going to have no voice for the show, but... That's neither here nor there, because I have a voice.
Right.
So, let's talk about what you do, Gretchen. Could you tell us a little bit about both Moms Clean Air Force and Clean Air Moms Action?
Sure. About 5.5 years ago, Moms Clean Air Force formed with the idea that people weren't talking about climate change and air pollution in a way that normal people could understand. It seems odd, but, you know, just 5 or 6 years ago, most of the talk around climate change was about polar bears.
Right.
And quite frankly, there are people like myself who, while they're very cute, that's not what gets me up in the morning, the thought of polar bears. But what gets me up in the morning is the thought of my kids. And so our founder, Dominique Browning, you know, was really concerned about what was happening, what was going to happen to her kids, and started a website to bring parents together online to talk about the issues of air pollution and climate change. And now we are a community of over 900,000 parents across the United States, united to protect our kids from air pollution and to act on the urgent crisis of our changing climate. So it's been an amazing 5 years. And as we continue to dig in the advocacy and education piece, we realized that there were a lot of really big issues happening in state houses across the country, in the federal government, and then also in politics. And while I was leading the advocacy work on the political side, we really needed to pivot and give a path to action for our members who really wanted to dig in on policy issues. So
right.
We formed a new organization called Clean Air Moms Action, which is our political arm. We work on legislation in state houses. We work with governors. We work on the federal government. And as many people are doing, we're now working on the election this fall and making sure that we are encouraging people to vote for candidates that really are putting our children's health first.
Right, because, you know, even if you're not a parent, you can absolutely agree that, you know, children are the future of our country. And if we're not taking care of them, then we're really, what are we doing, you know?
Exactly. And also, I always say that being a parent makes you an optimist. If you're going to bring life into this world that'll be here for 70, 80, 90 years,
right,
you're optimistic that it's going to be a healthy and safe place to live. And so when you're looking, you know, down the path and all of a sudden you're thinking, wait, it maybe in 40 years – it's not going to be a healthy and safe place to live. That's really motivation for action.
Right.
But also we're seeing that today it's becoming not a safe and healthy place to live because of what we've been doing to the earth for the last couple century. So that's where we are, and trying to, you know, broaden the conversation, not just to environmentalists, but to a wide range of people on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, from Texas to Pennsylvania to California, and really kind of broaden that tent on what it means to care about these issues.
Right. So there were a couple of issues that were brought up in, you know, across your website, which of course I checked out, and I became educated.
CleanAirMomsAction.org. Sorry.
That's right. No, no, you're good. It was educating me on a couple of things, but something I wanted to ask you is, you know, it's getting toward the winter. You know, we're in November now. It's election season. Everybody's got their faces glued to the TV, basically. What is it, you know, if anything, that you guys have noticed is happening environmental-wise this time of year that could give us a little more focus on, okay, this stuff is happening now, and now is the time to make a decision?
You mean the fact that it's November and I was wearing a t-shirt yesterday at the park with my kids?
Exactly.
I mean, it's not bad, right? It's kind of nice to be out in November after school and be able to take your kids to the playground and feel warm. But, you know, I work on a national scale, and I recently was talking to someone. They asked, well, what are people in Pennsylvania seeing? And I said, quite frankly, we're not seeing the really terrible effects that a lot of the rest of the country is seeing. Mm-hmm. My husband's from Miami. I was down there in the middle of October during the King Tides, and they're having daylight flooding, you know, 100 days a year, which means not a cloud in the sky and the water is rising up through their streets. Right. I stood there for 2 hours as the water rushed over a parking lot almost up to my knees.
Wow.
And then back out over a few-hour period. And so Miami's seeing that. California's seeing horrendous drought. Other areas, just recently in New Mexico, same thing, horrendous drought, but then just, you know, really heavy rains. And we're seeing some of that, right? We're seeing big extreme weather events. We're not seeing, you know, a week of rain. We're seeing really heavy rain events.
Right.
We're getting hit with Superstorm Sandy and other extreme weather, but we're not seeing the really dramatic events yet. We are really enjoying being able to eat dinner outside in November.
Right.
But it's what we call global weirding. It's not really right. This is going to be our new normal. And while it may seem really nice on November 2nd to be outside at the park, it's causing a lot of changes that we are yet to really realize. And, I mean, one is Zika virus in mm-hmm. Philadelphia. We were in the Zika virus range this year, this summer, and we're going to be seeing those shifting disease vectors come up into our area, diseases that we've never seen this far north. So those are things we really need to be thinking about.
Yeah, it, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned being out at the park in a t-shirt yesterday, because, you know, I've noticed a lot over the past couple of years that, you know, the kind of small Pennsylvania town that I live in, it's kind of hard for people to, for as much as they're interested in the outside world, it's kind of hard for people to focus outside of their own town. So it seems a little difficult to get people to realize, oh yeah, hey, it's kind of nice. It's like the last bit of warmth before the real cold hits and that sort of thing, and how nice for that to happen in our town. But they don't really think of the ramifications of, all right, there are other areas of our country and other areas of our world that are having changes that are much more drastic, and we're kind of lucky to be where we are.
I mean, we're so lucky, and even though there's things happening across the United States that are horrific, we live in the United States, which means we're not connected to the land like other people are and a lot of people in the rest of the world.
Right.
We'll still be able to buy strawberries any day of the year. It might be a little bit more expensive. We'll still be able to get milk. We'll still be able to, you know, have our grains and get rice and cereal for our kids. All of that's going to be fine for the United States. We're going to be able to have access to what we need to live a healthy, safe life. But the rest of the world that's really connected to the earth, this is already having a really drastic change for them. And those people in the United States who, you know, really have a hard time affording food, you know, cereal prices are, you know, almost double to what they were because of extreme drought and extreme weather.
Right.
It's getting harder and harder to afford healthy food, and we're just going to see that continue to be an issue here in the United States, but especially across the world with the poorest communities that we really need to take care of.
I just want to change gears for a second. Since you and I talked on Tuesday, because we're going to be having a post kind of getting into a little bit more detail on everything. But you and I spoke about toxic chemicals and, you know, safeguards against dangerous chemicals that we're running into, you know, in a daily life, in our daily lives, things that our kids are exposed to that, you know, we wouldn't think otherwise. You want to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going on in that regard and what, you know, we can do to kind of curb the use, I guess, of toxic chemicals?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because we really focus on air issues. And so a lot of times we get the question, well, are toxic chemicals an air issue? Because many times when people think of toxic chemicals, they think about, you know, the shampoo they're putting in their hair or the sunscreen they're putting on their skin. And not necessarily about the chemicals that are in our couches and our strollers and the new countertops we're buying for our kitchen, the floors. One of the biggest environmental legislation in nearly 30 years was just signed into law, and it's called the Frank Lautenberg Chemical Safety Act for the 21st Century. It's a long name, but what it did is it fixed our broken toxic chemical laws. A lot of people hear TSCA, the Toxic Substances Control Act of 1976. You hear we're TSCA compliant, or you hear that kind of thrown around a lot. Well, that law was from 1976, which is older than I am, and I now have three kids and plenty of gray hair. And it was broken. It didn't work. There was this perception that many people had, myself included, that somebody, of course, is taking care and making sure that my family is not being exposed to cancer-causing chemicals on a daily basis. And while there was a chemical law in place, this TSCA, it was so broken that we could not even get asbestos off the market under that federal law.
Wow.
And since 1976, there have only been five chemicals regulated under TSCA, which means there are tens of thousands of chemicals on the market, thousands of which come on every year, that are untested by the federal government for safety. And about 13 years ago, there was a lot of movement on fixing the broken law. 13 years is a long time. And in the last 3 years, there was a bill that had been worked on for 3 years in a bipartisan fashion between Senator Tom Udall from New Mexico, who took over this process when the New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg died, and a very conservative senator from Louisiana, Senator Bitter. And they worked really hard, really different people, very different sides of the aisle, and they worked together, and they said, if we're going to get this done, this is incredibly important. Americans are being exposed to very toxic chemicals on a daily basis, and we don't have any laws to keep them safe. And we're going to come together and we're going to do this in a bipartisan way. And we're not going to bring this to the floor until we've got, you know, an equal amount of Democrats, equal number of Republicans, and a strong bill that we feel like we can support. So they worked for 3 years and they brought this bill to the floor just about a year ago, right around the holidays last year, with 60 Republican and 60 Democratic co-sponsors in the Senate. Unheard of today in politics. If anybody's paying attention to politics, This is something that people can't believe. I mean, we should be shouting from the rooftops that this happened in D.C., but of course, getting along isn't exactly a story. So after a lot of painful negotiations between the House and the Senate, it passed unanimously on the second round in the Senate this year. Only lost 12 votes in the House. This is huge. And then it was signed into law this summer by President Obama. Well, I'm afraid with this election that that's at risk. When I hear politicians such as Donald Trump say, I'm going to defund the EPA and not be able to work, I think about this law that people on both sides of the aisle have worked for 13 years and really on this one piece for the last 3 years, really hard, a lot of painful political capital being spent, a lot of work by advocates such as the Humane Society, Moms Clean Air Force, and others to get this done. And if you defund the EPA, you prevent their ability to protect our families from toxic chemicals. And when I started working on this issue and realized how big it was, I had this image of putting my oldest in his car seat when he was 2 days old from the hospital. And when you put your baby in your car seat, the pressure of that releases flame retardants, which cause cancer. And I have that image in my head, and I just think all these people who, you know, would do anything to protect this two-day-old child that you just brought into the world. And the minute we're bringing them home, where we're going to protect them for the rest of their lives, we're causing them maybe a lifetime of issues. And so that is a huge issue for me, and I think American families should really be thinking about that when we go to the voting booth. Public health protections are so vitally important. Clean air, clean water, protection from toxic chemicals. You know, there's a lot of political rhetoric around this, but at the end of the day, we should really be thinking about that. And the toxic chemical bill, it's a huge success, and something that we should really hold dear as Americans and work to protect.
Now, for that legislation, who were the lead sponsors in the Senate?
So it was Senator Udall from New Mexico, and okay. Senator Vitter from Louisiana.
Okay.
And you had unlikely people together, like Senator Booker from New Jersey, very liberal, standing with Senator James Inhofe from Oklahoma. And if anybody remembers the senator who had a snowball on the Senate floor saying,
climate
change isn't real, that Senator Inhofe standing with Cory Booker working on environmental legislation. I mean, really, you know, a cast of characters that you would never see together, but it's an issue that's so big. And we work mostly on climate change, and I really believe that if we're able to do that on something so contentious, where industry, I mean, talk about the chemical industry being just powerful lobbyists in Washington. If you're able to do that on toxic chemicals, we can tackle so many other issues. We just need good people that come to the table, stay at the table, and are determined to work together to find solutions that work for the American people. So big stuff, but you know, it was not easy to do that. It was not easy. It took a lot of work, and it took a lot of everyday people advocating on a daily basis for this.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope that, you know, politicians in the Senate and the House, you know, both locally and in D.C. could look at something like that and think, oh, hey, look, we can come together and, you know, do things that aren't just, you know, partisan politics and, you know, squabbling over things that, to me, are ridiculous, and come to an agreement and an understanding and actually make changes that, you know, are positive and helpful for the people in this country, instead of bickering and, you know, grandstanding while reading Dr. Seuss on the floor. But that's another issue, Ted Cruz. dive into him today.
You know, I think it's really important to recognize that the reason these really different factions came together, the reason the chemical industry came to the table with, you know, advocates from the OB Gin Association to the Humane Society to the Autism Network, I mean, is because consumers demanded change. Consumers demanded that they be protected from toxic chemicals. We were buying products that were safer. We were really paying attention to this. There are websites like the Environmental Working Group and others that were digging in on their own research. And if they did not come to the table, the chemical industry was afraid that they would lose, you know, kind of their hold on this industry. And that shows the power of the everyday person. You know, the corporate lobbyists, even the nonprofit lobbyists, they're in there all the time. But when a citizen calls their elected official or requests a meeting, that just starts the ball rolling.
Right.
And a lot of people think, oh, somebody else is advocating for this. Well, guess what? They're not. The everyday citizen has kind of forgotten that you can call your U.S. congressman and you can request a meeting with your senator, or you can request a meeting with your mayor. We've put them on this pedestal and we've forgotten that there are representatives, right, not the lobbyist representatives. They are ours, and that they are held accountable to us. And the minute we make that phone call or request that meeting, it clicks for them. And nobody else is usually doing that on these issues. And if you get a big enough groundswell, like we did on chemicals, if you get enough people demanding change in the industry, then the people are forced to come to the table and work out a solution. I think that so many issues, from toxic chemicals to climate change to, you know, gun reform, whatever it is that you care about, I think so many of these issues could be fixed if people just started getting engaged again and making their voice heard.
So in the past couple of days, we've heard a whole lot from Elon Musk and the whole Tesla industry, as far as the things that they've been working on, like the new solar panels that they have coming out next year, and, you know, the things we already know that they're doing with cars and the home battery and stuff like that. What do you think, this is just something that I've been thinking about over the past couple of days, what do you think is the next step for that sort of company who has, you know, who has the environment at the forefront of their mind in their development? I would like to think that it's you know, it would be some kind of clean water technology or being able to deal with, you know, toxic chemicals. What do you guys think?
I don't know what's going to come from Elon Musk. I'll tell you that. I mean, right. It's amazing. I always think, you know, your guys' parents, you probably see this on social media, don't ask your kids what they want to be when they grow up. Ask them what problems they want to solve. We kind of hear that floating around a lot. I think that's – I'm so excited to see what our kids dream up and create and innovate to solve these problems. Because I – you know, when he comes out with his battery or he comes out with the solar panel roof, I mean, to me it's just fascinating and so cool, right? Like, I would never have thought about this, but I truly believe that if we're thinking of this innovative way, and we have, as America, you know, we really develop entrepreneurship and innovation again and really put the best minds in our country to solving this issue, just like the race to the moon, right? We're going to put the best minds and we're going to get to the moon. If we do that in the United States, and we do that in our middle schools and our high schools and our tech schools and our community colleges, I can't imagine what our kids are going to create. And I think that if we put the resources behind that, the stuff our kids are going to do to really combat these biggest issues is going to be so cool. Cooler than the solar panel rooftop. I just can't wait to see what it is. But we really do have to invest in that innovation and that entrepreneurship spirit in America in order to figure out, you know, to see that happen, I think.
Right.
Now, obviously with the election on Tuesday, I'm sure there are plenty of folks who haven't decided as far, you know, who they're going to vote for. Mostly, I would think locally, I would really guess that most people are pretty sure where they're leaning for, you know, the presidential election, you would hope. But as far as local, for where we're at, you know, outside of Philadelphia, could you tell us a little bit about the candidates that, you know, we're going to be choosing between as far as where they stand on climate change, toxic chemicals, and all that fun stuff?
All the fun stuff. Well, you know, I think a lot of people aren't paying attention down ticket. I've been knocking on a lot of doors, making a lot of phone calls, and I hear people say, well, I'm not voting, or I can't choose between, I don't like either option. I ask them, well, are you talking about the presidential, or are you talking about your U.S. congressperson? And they say, oh, well, just the presidential. I mean, it's really important to be thinking about not just the presidential race, because the people who are closest to you politically are the ones that are going to have the biggest difference on your life on a daily basis. The presidential race, you know, Donald Trump is a one-man climate disaster. I've already said he's vowed to defund the Environmental Protection Agency, which means our public health protections for clean air, clean water, and toxic chemicals are out the window. Hillary Clinton, you know, has a lot of experience. I'm under no illusions that anyone goes into office and is going to just magically do everything that I think they should do. Right. I think that you need to continue to advocate on a daily basis, but I think she's definitely the best choice and will continue Obama's legacy to move us forward to cut climate pollution, cut our exposure to toxic chemicals, move us to a clean energy future. She has solid proposals out there for increasing the amount of solar panels and moving every U.S. household to 100% renewable energy in 10 years. So concrete proposals and solutions. We can do more, but that's a good start. One really important race in Pennsylvania, I think, is the U.S. Senate race between incumbent Senator Toomey and Katie McGinty.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Toomey, since he has been in office, has continued to play favorites with the fossil fuel industry, and they've thanked him by contributing $1.5 million to his campaigns. And he has led efforts in the U.S. Senate to get rid of the mercury and air toxic standards, which, you know, as anyone who's had a child knows, when you can't eat tuna fish, right? You can't eat tuna fish when you're pregnant.
Right.
Well, the mercury in tuna fish comes from coal-fired power plants. And so it harms pregnant women and unborn babies. I almost laugh because he talks about being pro-life all the time. And when he led the charge in the U.S. Senate to eliminate the mercury and air toxic standards, I'm thinking, like, this doesn't really affect me, but it affects my unborn baby. Like, this is crazy. Same thing with America's Clean Power Plan, the first plan to cut climate pollution from our power sector. So continues to get in the way of all action to protect our families from toxic air pollution. Where Katie McGinty for the last 25 years has been working as the head of the Department of Environmental Protection here in Pennsylvania, and then the head of the White House Council on Environmental Quality under the Clinton administration, the first woman ever to do so. She's been, for the last 25 years, working to protect our families and our environment from air pollution, protect clean water and clean air. And so she, I believe, is a better choice. If you care about clean air, clean water, and protecting your family from toxic chemicals, she will be our advocate in D.C. And then, you know, the entire U.S. House is also up for re-election, and there's a lot of really interesting races in Pennsylvania. We're pretty lucky in southeastern Pennsylvania, where a lot of the Republicans in office are getting better on a lot of these issues, are willing to come to the table and talk about solutions. And same way, we've got a lot of Democrats who are willing to do so too. Pennsylvania is a very purple state, which means we've got a lot of moderates. So we're pretty lucky in the fact that a majority of the people running, both on the Republican and the Democratic side, at least in southeastern Pennsylvania, are willing to be solutions oriented. But I would encourage everyone to go to these websites. Make sure you know before the voting booth whether these people align with what you align with. And make sure you know who they are, because they're going to be the people you need to work with for the next couple of years.
Yeah, unfortunately, I found out that I am the right age to run for the House of Representatives, but unfortunately, I didn't find that out till last month. So I would have been in the race, and I would have been a great choice, but, you know, I'll have to try again next time.
You should consider running.
Absolutely.
I think everyone should consider running for office. We need good people in office. We need people who are willing to step forward. So was that you, Ben? You should consider running in 2 years. Let me know.
I'll think about it. All right.
And then I'll have to find a new co-host.
No. We'll do it in my office. It's fine.
Right. Yeah.
You're just gonna have to come down to D.C. every once in a while.
Yeah, you're utilizing government resources to put on a podcast.
All right. Look, we'll go over the fine details later.
All right. So before we finish up, is there anything else that you want to, you know, make sure all 10 of our listeners? No, I'm kidding. You know, our listeners would need to know going into to Tuesday and then, you know, beyond.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes being a good parent means being a good citizen, but citizenship does not start and end in the voting booth. there is a role for all of us to play before the election, and there's an even bigger role for all of us to play afterwards. Like I said, I'm under no illusions that these people will be in office, then like magically do everything that we want them to do as citizens. So if you are interested in making sure that you don't wake up on November 9th and wonder what the heck happened to our country, you can go to cleanairmoms.org, cleanairmomsaction.org, and sign up to volunteer over the next 6 days. You can also contact me, and hopefully you'll put my email in there, but it's gdahlkemper, D-A-H-L-K-E-M-P-E-R, at cleanairmomsaction.org, and volunteer. You can make phone calls from the comfort of your own home. We can set you up with a phone bank. You can knock on doors. You can go onto our social media channels and share some information. There's a lot of work to do between now and Tuesday. Make sure you get out and vote. Make sure you get out and vote on Tuesday. If you don't like the candidates at the top of the ticket, pay attention to what's down ticket and make a good decision for you and your family. And then afterwards, it's so incredibly important to continue to engage with the people who are in office. Whether or not you voted for them, it's important to engage with them beyond and find a path to advocacy. Whether you care about the issues that I care about, which are toxic chemicals and climate change and air pollution, but if whatever your issue is, whether it's you have a child with autism and you care about access to school and health care, or you care about more bike paths, or you care about gun reform, whatever your issue is, I encourage you to make sure that you are being engaged on it and contacting the people we put into office. It's so critically important as Americans that we participate in democracy. And if you don't know how to do that, you know, contact us. Contact Moms Clean Air Force. We are there to help you find a path to your advocacy, whether it's our issue or another. It's really important to do that. So get out and vote and continue to be a good citizen.
Awesome. And just a reminder, folks, if you want to, you know, dive into more information, you know, about what Gretchen's been talking about, cleanairmomsaction.org has tons of information as I scroll through it right now. There's all included on there. Wow, I lost it. You can print out a form and do a selfie on why, you know, why you're inspired to vote for clean energy and your children's health, holding the sign, which I'll be doing later today or tomorrow with my kids.
Yep, same here.
So there's lots of awesome information on there.
Gretchen, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And I'll say, you know, we're clean air moms, but love being on here, and you don't have to be a mom to be involved. Dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, anyone who likes to breathe.
Yeah, anybody who likes to breathe, yeah.
We're a big big tent community, and we welcome all of you to join us.
Excellent.
All right, thank you so much.
Well, folks, get out there and vote on Tuesday. We won't be talking to you again until after, so we will we'll talk to you all after the election. Hopefully it's not the apocalypse.
On the flip side, so to speak.
Yes. Have a great week, everybody.
Later.